Great, good afternoon. Some of you asked me whether they could have homework on Monday. Since I allowed that, I should allow it in general. If anyone wants to hand in their homework only on Monday, you're welcome to do so. Right, are there questions?
So, I have a question related to that.
There's still time.
Yeah?
That was on the first one, when you look at the way that you use the functions to find that you're trying to prove to people the mu.
Yeah?
If you evaluate it on the post set AB,
yeah?
That has a value -1. I believe.
A less. Is,
you just have
so
a two-element coset.
Yeah, b is equal to x2, a is equal to x0, or no,
b is equal to x1.
If your coset is just a chain of length 1, then yes, you should get -1, because you have no chains of length 0,
right.
Yes.
You have one chain of length 1.
Right.
Yes.
But zeta will still be 1, or zeta, right?
Zeta function would have the value 1. Yes.
Then when we multiply them together, we don't get the delta function?
You multiply, well, your confusion comes from that you're multiplying two values of the functions together.
Okay.
And that's not how the function, no, the functions multiply by multiplying values together in the right way.
Okay.
But if you do matrix multiplication, if you would say you take this matrix and this matrix, right? You wouldn't multiply these two numbers together. That's basically what is happening. Well, it's actually it's another place, but that's roughly the thing.
Because it's a two-dimensional equation. Well, that makes more sense.
Very good. Other questions? And I mean, don't worry. This is initially tricky with these things. And what one can do is sometimes just it really helps to hold on to the formal definition and not try to do anything clever. But there have been many cases where I was in situations where I persuaded myself at some point, no, the world is saying this must somehow be resolvable, and had to go through relatively basic steps till I found, oh, here something has gone wrong. But that might not always be a great assumption for the homework, because theoretically I could have made a mistake. Other questions? No? So, what we are doing is we are looking at flow in networks. So, we have the value of the flow. The value of a flow would be the net outflow from the source. So it's the sum over those edges which start at the source over the flow of these edges minus the flow over the edges which terminate at the source, what flows back to the source. That's the value of a flow. We also had the concept of a cut. The capacity of a cut, little c was the capacity function, so let's call the cap the cut. Big C would be the maximum I can transport out of the cut, so I look at those edges which leave the cut, and I look at the capacity over these edges. That's the capacity of the cut. And what we have seen last time, basically by using a lemma which shows that this doesn't just hold for the specific cut which starts from the source, but this holds for any cut, that we always must have, and we are dealing with non-negative integers, so that we are subtracting something non-negative here, so maximal value we would have is if this is zero, and maximal value theoretically we would have is if this is at capacity. So we have seen that the value of any flow is bounded by the capacity of any cut. And what I claimed is that we have actually equality, so the maximal flow value is bounded by the minimal cut capacity, and that in that case we actually have equality. So, and that is not just a lemma, but is a theorem, not because it is hard to prove, but because it has high practical relevance. This is theorem 411, and this is called the max flow min cut theorem, or sometimes it's called after its authors, Ford and Fulkerson. And I should say, what I will give you is the integer version. And you'll see in a moment what the integer version does. Okay, so suppose the capacity function C is integer valued. If you have rational values, you just multiply through with a common denominator and can make them all integer valued. So let's assume we have an integer valued capacity function, then the maximal flow value equals the minimal cut capacity. So we actually can achieve equality here for a particular cut and a particular flow width. And furthermore, there is a maximum flow that is integer valued. That, you might wonder, why do I even need to state this? Well, even if you have integer capacities, you could have a weird situation where you're running a third through that pipe and two-thirds through that pipe, and they somehow combine, but you split it up again. Theoretically, there could be some weird situation. The theorem is just saying, for the maximal flow, you don't need to bother about that situation. You can look at it all with integers. Yeah, I mentioned already, if you have rational capacities, that is not really a restriction. The integer here you multiply through with a common denominator. The theorem also holds if we have irrational capacities. In that case, just the proof gets harder. Either you prove it with very different methods, from optimization, from linear programming, or you do some approximation argument. And this will be one of these really painful approximation arguments where you have multiple numbers and you find something in neighborhood epsilon and so on. In one of the homework problems, which are for next week, we are doing this a little bit along these lines, and that I'm not saying neighborhood, but I'm saying specifically round down. And I'm not saying epsilon neighborhood, but round down, so that the denominator is divide some number which you which you choose in the theorem, and that makes it much easier to handle than the issue that you are somewhere in an epsilon neighborhood. So to prove this with the to prove this with an approximation argument really will become painful, and there is in practice, of course, basically no reason for doing so, because any number you ever will measure will be a rational number. Okay, so that's the theorem, and I want to prove it. So, and the way things work in this chapter, we're proving things cyclically. This implies this. The last one we've proven was Menger's theorem. So I will prove that Menger's theorem implies max flow. Right. So what we do is simply, if we have a directed network, replace an arc, this was a weighted edge with capacity C, and I assume that I have integer capacities, by C disjoint edges. So which all go in the same direction. If you feel that is stretching the definition of a directed graph by having multiple edges between two vertices, what you can do is you can introduce some dummy vertices you put in the middle just to make these edges formally different. Okay, so now we have a directed graph. Well, now let's look at the edge version of Menger's theorem. What does it tell us? It tells us if we have a minimum edge separating set which separates two vertices, the vertices S and T, that is the maximum number of different paths. Well, if one of these edges is in a minimum edge separating set, the other ones have to. Minimal edge separating set, all are. Why that? Because if I leave some out, then it still stays connected. Right? If it turns out that I need to cut one of them, I need to cut them all to actually sever that connection. So if one is there, all of them are. That means the cardinality of a minimal edge, so the size of a minimal edge separating set will be equal to the capacity of a cut, and then it's not hard to see, of a minimal cut. It's the minimal of the capacity of the cuts. Vice versa, if I have k independent paths, well, imagine these independent paths all are pipes of capacity 1. Then you can transport capacity 1 along each path. So then you have transport capacity k, and then you just go back and you say, well, some of these paths came together, I just combine them to 1 if they originally were together. That means I have transport capacity k. Capacity k. Well, and Menger tells us this minimal edge, minimal size of an edge separating set.
Minimal edge separating set is equal to the size of the maximum number of independent paths. But we have seen minimum edge separating set size is the size of a minimal cut. Then the number maximum number of independent paths then is maximal flow, and we're done. So by restricting it to the integer case, it is essentially the statement of Menger's theorem. By just splitting up an arc with capacity C to C different arcs, and if you just look at the independent paths, there you will have flow 1 on each path. You combine them, that will give you integer flows. So in that situation, we get automatically the maximum with integer flows. Mm-hmm. That's the theorem. Yeah. So with Menger's theorem, which admittedly wasn't completely trivial to prove, we get this theorem very cheaply as a consequence. So how do we find a the obvious question is now, how do we find a maximal flow? And the process for finding one will, this is an algorithm which is called the Ford-Falkerson algorithm, which says, take some, and it's very similar to the idea of the Hungarian method, take some flow. If it is not maximal, try to make the flow larger. And we will find the larger flow by something which we will call an augmenting path. And so what I will describe is the method how I can find an augmenting path. What I should say is the way I'm stating the algorithm here, it is not clear that this can be done in polynomial time. It can, but there are difficulties. And I'll mention a bit about the difficulties, but since this is not a computer science course, I'm not going to go into details of proving that it can be done in polynomial time. How do we find this? And I might not write down all the details of the algorithm as steps on the board. That typically isn't very exciting to write this formally down. You'll find this in the notes. So, how do we find a larger flow? So this is algorithm 413. Given a flow, find augmenting path. Or find a cut which is at capacity, at out capacity, and that then automatically, or at capacity of the flow, and that cut automatically then must be a minimal cut. Or find a minimal cut. And it might be easiest or to do this in parallel in an example to show what is happening. And this is also the example from the notes. So let's suppose I have my source here. I have an edge of capacity 10. Of capacity 5, and of capacity 15, I have vertices A, B, C, D, F, and now I have capacity 4 here, I have capacity 15 here, capacity
a tier capacity 6 along here, 30 along there, 15, 9, 10, 10, 10, and the target.
Okay. So, what we can see immediately is the capacity can't be larger than 30, right? Because from the source and the target, we would, if we put the cut there, we have capacity 30. It's not immediately, my guess is it's not immediately clear what the very smallest cut would be, but it's not horribly hard to find one because it's a small network. But don't try to find it in the brute force way, because we will find it on the way easily. So, and we start with some flow. So, let me put some, and I'm starting not with a flow of 0 for this example, to make it terminate in a few steps. We could start with a flow of 0, just then we need to do it over a couple, then it iterates more. So I'm flowing 10 here, 3 there, 11 here, 4 here, 0, 11, 1, 8, 0, 6, 0 along these two paths, and I'm flowing 10, 8, and 6, and that should be a flow of 24. And I hope I haven't made a mistake that Kirchhoff's rule should hold at every vertex. Let's try here. We are flowing 3 plus 4 plus 1, 8 in, and we're flowing 8 out. Okay. So, now how do we find an augmenting path? Will be a path through this network from S to T, where we can increase the flow along that path. And we can increase it along this path in two different ways concerning the edges. We might go along an edge like this and say we increase it here, say from 3 to 5 or from 3 to 4. Or we could go this way against an edge and reduce the flow in that edge, right? And since we're going the other way around, by reducing the flow in that direction, we are increasing, we can interpret this as increasing the flow in this direction. Because then suddenly, by not flowing it away, there will be something appearing. Okay. So, what we do is we look at a set of vertices, and the set of vertices is initialized by the start vertex. And now I'm looking at the edges which leave my set A and go to and are not yet at capacity. So I consider edges. So for all edges E where the initial vertex of E is in the set A, the terminal where vertex of E is not in the site in the set A, and the flow of this edge is strictly smaller than the capacity of the edge, add the terminal vertex of that edge to the set A. Right? These are all the vertices to which I could transport more more things. So A is the set where I can transport more to. To S I can transport infinitely much. Something only gets to A, added to A, if there is capacity free on the edge from S initially. That means I could get more to here, but to get to it actually in practice, it needs to transport further. So there would be temporarily something extra here, and therefore, if one of these outgoing edges has further capacity, I can transport more there. Right. So these are edges where I can increase the flow. I can do the same or the dual thing with edges which go into A. Right? If there is an edge into A which has non-zero flow, I can reduce that flow and thereby transport more out of A. So dually for edges into A, I can reduce the flow there. Okay. And what I basically do, if either exists, if A grew, go to step two, then iterate. And if, there is one thing I should have done here before, sorry. I need to renumber them. 3, 4, 5. So, if T is in A, then go to step, I need to make it step 6. Yeah, let's make it step 6. And, so if A grow, go to step 2, otherwise terminate. And what does step 6 do? Let me start first looking at what is happening there. So, what is my set A? It initially has only the vertex S. Now, what are the edges over which I could transport more? I could transport more over this edge and over this edge, right? So I can put B and C in this set A. Now, where else can I transport? Here I could, by reducing this flow, I could transport stuff from B to A. So I can add A to the set. I can't transport yet more there. I can transport, for example, more here, so I can add F to the set. Okay. Now I have A in the set, I can transport from here more to there more and here along more. Right? So I can add D and E to the set, and by looking at what can I transport from these, I can transport, for example, here more, I get T in the set. Right? I was able to transport more to D, so that way I can transport from D, I can transport to D. And now, in step 6, when T has been reached, I trace back how T was found. And that's basically the place where I'm not careful with polynomial. If T is in A,
trace a path back.
So, how do I trace
that path back in my example? From S, I was able to go to B, then to A, then to D, then to D. Right? S, A, S, B, A, D, T.
I can transport.
And now I basically turn open the taps. I could transport two more along here. I can transport actually four along here by reducing that flow. But since it's two, I transport two here. Here I could transport three, but two is fine. And here I can transport also two more. So I increase by two along this path, and my flow will change. This flow of three now becomes a flow of five. This flow of four now becomes a flow of two. This six becomes an eight, and this six also becomes an eight. Okay, and now I'm flowing not 24, but I'm flowing 28 through my network. 26, sorry, 26, yeah. You look skeptical, Pranat?
Are we at the end yet, or
no.
Can we increase more?
We can increase more, there is no. No.
Yeah. And so trace back, increase, go to step two. So we start the same business again. Where can I transport more? So, from S, I can only transport more to C. Right? Because here I'm at capacity. From C, I can only transport more to F. From F, I can only transport more to B. From B, I can transport more to A. From A, I can transport more to D and E. And from D and E, I can transport more to T.
When you say you can transport more from B to A, that's by reducing...
By reducing the flow, yes. So because it's something flows from A to B, This is like when you transfer money to another bank, or your friend has an account by another bank. They don't really transport the money. It's just they might or transport rarely. They might simply say instead of them transporting money the other way, they transport less, and thereby effectively money has gone that way. So, what is the path I want to look at here? Slightly different path. So, how did I get T? I went to C, to F, to B, to A, let's say to E, and then to T. So, my augmenting path is S, C, F, B, A, E, T. How much can I increase the flow along this path? Four, quite a bit. Five, so four is so far the strongest. Here I can turn it down only by two because I'm not allowed negative flow. So I have two, here a lot, and there I also have two. So two is the capacity, is the amount by which I can increase the flow. So let's increase the flow. and I get a flow of 13, 13, 3, 0, 2, 10, and now I have a flow of 28. Okay. Well, this was nice. Let's do it again. And now you see why I didn't start with a flow of 0. So, where can I transport more? I can transport more from, well, S is anyhow in. I can transport more to C. I can transport more to F. I can transport more from F to B. But from B, I cannot transport more out. Right? This is at capacity. Here I've reduced it to 0. I cannot get things out of B. That means at this point, I'm now in the other situation. I'm in this situation. No, my set A didn't grow anymore. I wasn't able to add any further vertices to the set A. Okay, so what is my set A? Let's draw a line around it. What is the cut, the capacity of the cut? And now I'm just looking at the edges which leave the cut. That is 10, doesn't matter, plus 8, doesn't matter, plus 10 is 28. I have found a minimal cut. And that proves, not only does my algorithm have to stop at this point, but it proves that I have found the optimal solution.
How did you know that was your minimal cut?
Sorry?
How did you know that was your minimal cut?
Okay. So, at the moment, in the practical example, I know it must be a minimal cut because I have also a flow of capacity 28.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Right? So a cut cannot, since cut capacity can never be smaller than flow capacity, I must have a minimal cut. Mm-hmm. This must be a minimal cut in this example. Why does this happen in general? So there are two things I need to justify with this algorithm. Let's do the easy, well, they're both not very hard, but let's do the one very basic thing. Why does this thing terminate? Well, any time the algorithm runs, I'm increasing the flow on at least one edge. Or the total flow increases. The total flow can't increase unboundedly, right? Let's take, if you want a stupid bound, take all the capacities, add them up. Clearly, it can't be more than this. So, there is an upper bound to how big the flow can increase. Every time it iterates, the flow increases. So, I'm done. So, that means the algorithm will terminate. So, why do I have the optimal flow? I have an optimal flow because I claim when it terminates, I have a minimal cut. Why is this a minimal cut? Well, if I look at this set of vertices, to stop, all edges which go out of this set must be at capacity, right? And all edges in must be at capacity 0. Because otherwise I could add vertices to this set. So, I have all edges at capacity, which go out. I have nothing going in. That means the flow over this cut, if I now look at the value of the flow, with this particular cut in mind, the value of the flow, and we know for whatever cut we have, the value of the flow is flow out the cut minus flow in the cut. My flow in the cut is zero, because that is the second condition by which I didn't add vertices. So the value of the flow is flow out the cut. What is the flow out the cut? It is as big as it can be on these edges, and that's what we call the capacity of the cut. So we have a flow which is at capacity of the cut, and because the capacity of the cut can never be smaller, this must at the same time be a minimal capacity and a maximal flow, and therefore we found the optimum. So that found us an optimal flow, and yes, indeed, we are using crucially the max flow min cut theorem. That's justifying that this algorithm works optimally. So was this argument? I'll get to you in a second, because it might even be the same question. Was this argument why this is gets you the why termination? I think is easy, but why it gives us the optimal solution? Was that argument clear, or do you want me to go over once more? Think about it, and I answer your question.
Okay. If in this problem,
if
we increase the capacity 2 over at the bottom and reduce 2 in the middle.
Here?
Yeah, so make the SC is equal to 15.
Yes.
And SB is equal to 3. And then change along the way. Then we will have minimum like SP, minimal cut. But
I mean, the algorithm doesn't guarantee you
No, it doesn't. Yeah, there are other solutions. It doesn't. It does. There is nothing. I didn't claim anything about uniqueness or best way of doing it or fastest way of doing
still,
it.
No, still, if you try doing it, then I cannot find the correct outflow.
Okay, that might not be the optimal thing to do in class. So, I'm happy to look. I'm pretty sure this is correct. But by all means, example is exactly in the notes. Go through and look. If there is something wrong, tell me on Monday, and I'll be happy to go through and see where something goes wrong. So, does anyone want me to go through once more the argument why this ends up with an optimum solution? No, everyone happy with it. Everyone understands why it finds the maximum. Good. So, as I said, this is, I showed termination. I did not show anything about estimated runtime. And we will see an example, which I'll start with next time, that this might take comparatively long if you choose your paths badly. And the situation, the place where it happens is basically, here I'm saying I'm tracing back. And there might be multiple choices for tracing back. So, you could even argue, is this a proper algorithm? I'm way here, it's not unique in what I'm doing. But, so, to make it polynomial time, it involves a particular strategy of choosing your augmenting path wisely. And then it finds these paths. It assumed the integer capacities. If you have irrational capacities, and then one homework problem is about it. Basically, what you want to do there is you want to reduce
you want to reduce the edges along a minimal cut just a little bit, and by so little that it can't affect anything else. And you know that in any epsilon neighborhood of an irrational number, you have rational numbers. So you can clearly find rational numbers which are as close as you want. And then you reduce the capacity and you will get a flow which will only differ by some epsilon, and thereby it approximates. Right. I think that is a reasonable place to stop. Oh, and of course the last homework problem is just do this in another example. And there I don't give you an initial flow, so you have to start with a flow of zero or make a clever guess for how you start with some flow, which you can get for basically free. Right. Yeah. Thank you very much. Sorry.
Is there a text we can check for the unambiguation of step 6 there?
So, there are texts. If you want to make this concrete, you basically should get a computer science textbook on algorithms, which will have a chapter on network flows.
Okay.
And there they will give you multiple algorithms. There is one which is called the Edmonds-Karp algorithm. Which is a polynomial time version, and there, or you can even look it up on Wikipedia.
What is it,
Edmonds?
What's that letter? Is that an L?
No, E D M O N D S.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And carp, like the fish, or do this is fish spelled? No, it's fish spelled with C. With C, yeah, yeah, almost like.
Was there a indexing typo where you said if in step 2 you say T is in A, go to step 6 and then...
No, that is fine. Then I'm going to step 6. Then step 6 finds this augmenting path, increases and goes back.
Okay.
You could say go to step 2 and... Not go to step 2. Go to step 1, right? Because I want to reset.
Right.
Yeah. Otherwise, it flip flop. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.